Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Savings and Trust: The Rise and Betrayal of the Freedmen's Bank by Justine Hill Edwards is a work of narrative economic history that examines the first major financial institution created to receive deposits from African Americans after emancipation, centered on the Freedmen's Savings and Trust Company. The book traces its founding in the hopeful aftermath of the Civil War, its rapid expansion, and its catastrophic collapse in 1874. Edwards uses the bank's story to show how financial institutions can shape freedom, citizenship, and racial inequality far beyond their balance sheets. Rather than treating the bank failure as a simple case of poor management or black depositor naivety, the book argues that white political and business actors in Washington, D.C. steered it toward disaster. The result is a careful reconstruction of Reconstruction-era finance that connects banking history to the long afterlife of racial wealth disparities in the United States. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Freedmen's Bank as a post-emancipation promise of economic citizenship. Edwards presents the bank not merely as a place to store money, but as part of the federal response to emancipation and Reconstruction. For many freed people, deposits were tied to larger hopes for stability, self-determination, and recognition as wage earners and citizens. The book shows why this mattered. Banking was never abstract for formerly enslaved people who had long navigated credit, labor contracts, and informal saving practices under slavery and after it. By placing the bank in the larger context of promises made to freed people, including expectations that government action might support land, labor, and autonomy, the book explains why trust in the institution was so consequential. The bank became a symbol of what freedom might become in practice, not just in law. This framing gives the narrative its moral weight and helps explain why the collapse reverberated far beyond a single financial scandal. Secondly, black depositors were not financially naive, but active economic participants. One of the book's most important interventions is its rejection of the assumption that the bank's customers needed to be taught how to save. Edwards emphasizes that African Americans already had financial knowledge shaped by churches, family networks, wage labor, and the realities of enslavement. In that sense, the bank did not create financial literacy from nothing. It encountered communities that were already managing risk and preserving resources under difficult conditions. This matters because many retellings of the Freedmen's Bank story unintentionally reproduce paternalistic ideas about black dependency. Edwards instead restores agency to depositors who use the institution strategically, often with clear expectations about security and future mobility. The book, therefore, changes the interpretation of the bank from a civilizing project imposed on the freed people to a system in which black savers participated with practical understanding. That shift is central to the book's argument about how racial assumptions distorted both the bank's design and the historical memory of its failure. Thirdly, white political and business control turned the bank into a mechanism of exploitation. The collapse of the Freedmen's Bank is explained as the result of power, not simply incompetence. Edwards argues that white financiers and politically connected elites in Washington, D.C. undermined the institution through mismanagement, self-dealing, and reckless decisions that exposed depositor funds to loss. This is a major corrective to older accounts that blamed Frederick Douglass, who served as the final president, or implied that black depositors were responsible for the outcome, by following the institution's governance and the behavior of its controlling interests. The book shows how a bank created in the name of uplift could be stripped of its protective function. The point is not only that the bank failed, but that its failure was produced by a racialized structure of authority that denied black depositors real control over their own savings. This makes the book a study of how benevolent language can mask extractive power, especially when financial institutions are managed by people whose interests do not align with the community they claim to serve. Fourthly, a chronological narrative reveals the transformation from hope to betrayal. Edwards organizes the book as a carefully paced chronological history, which allows readers to see how the bank's meaning changed over time. It begins with optimism in the early post-war years, moves through rapid branch expansion across the South and Mid-Atlantic, and ends with scandal, collapse, and public outrage. This structure is more than a stylistic choice. It helps show that the bank's downfall was not inevitable from the start, but emerged through accumulated decisions, institutional drift, and political compromise. The approach also gives space to multiple kinds of actors, including well-known figures such as Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and General O.O. Howard, as well as less familiar people whose lives illuminate the bank's reach into black communities. By moving step by step through the institution's life, the book creates a stronger causal explanation than a simplified morality tale would allow. Readers can see how hope, paternalism, ambition, and betrayal interacted rather than assuming the collapse was a single event detached from the larger Reconstruction era. Lastly, The book's broader argument links bank failure to long-term racial wealth inequality. Although the book is firmly rooted in 19th century history, its implications are contemporary. Edwards shows that the collapse of the Freedmen's Bank did more than erase deposits. It damaged confidence in formal financial systems and removed savings that could have supported land purchase, business formation, education, and intergenerational security. The loss therefore compounded the economic vulnerability created by emancipation without adequate reparative support. This helps explain why the book has been recognized as a major contribution to the history of slavery and its aftermath. It connects a specific institutional failure to the persistence of racial wealth gaps in the present. Edwards does not reduce modern inequality to a single event, but she makes clear that the bank's destruction was one important mechanism through which Black economic advancement was obstructed after the Civil War. That broader interpretation is what makes the book valuable, not only to historians, but also to readers interested in public policy, finance, and the historical roots of inequality. In conclusion, this book should be read by anyone interested in African American history, Reconstruction, banking history, or the origins of racial wealth inequality in the United States. It will also be especially useful for students and scholars of economic history because it shows how financial institutions operate within political power structures rather than outside them. Readers looking for a narrowly technical history of banking will find something richer here, a historically grounded account of how trust, governance, race, and state power intersected in a decisive post-Civil War institution. What sets Edwards' work apart from similar books is its combination of archival research, narrative clarity, and corrective interpretation. It does not treat the Freedmen's Bank as a simple financial failure, but as a revealing case study in how Black aspirations were channeled, constrained, and ultimately betrayed by white control. The book therefore offers both a compelling Reconstruction-era history and a framework for understanding why racial economic inequality remains so durable. Its strongest value lies in showing that the past was not just unfortunate, but structurally consequential. If you would like to support Justine Hill Edwards, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description.